Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Good morning, Life Point Valley Center. How are you today? You good? Are you awake? Those of you who've read ahead, you know why I said that. Hey, so just now would be a good time to look at somebody and say, stay awake. Oh, that wasn't good enough. Come on, stay awake. There we go. Well, we are in Mark chapter 13, and that's what the passage, today's passage emphasizes, is that the Lord's coming back, and so it's vital that all of us stay awake, stay alert. Do you get tired of some of our cultural words and sayings? They start to grate on you after a while. They start to grate on me for after a while. There have been a lot of them over the years. One, a few years back, everyone said this when they were drawing in conclusion. Instead of saying in conclusion or whatever, they'd say at the end of the day. And after a while, this is how I heard it, no matter how profound the bass voice was this. At the end of the day, it just bugged me to no end. At the end of the day, give me a break. So today, now look, it's not that I don't believe we should just turn off our minds and not be aware, but the woke thing. Yeah, well, that's worn out now. Come up with something new. But the Bible tells us to be awake. And so in woke culture, my question is, what are they advocating that we be awakened to? What are we supposed to be awakened to sin all the more? Are we supposed to be awakened to some perspective that encourages anything goes? You have your own story, I have my own story. You have your own truth, I have my own truth. And that's all language that rejects this inescapable and unavoidable fact. God has established truth. Now, we can't know it perfectly. I'm not saying we know it perfectly or exhaustively, but we know enough to be saved and we know enough to live for Him, and we know what that looks like. Again, I said it last week, we see through a glass darkly. We need to admit that and not think that we just know everything about God or carry Him around in a briefcase and write 10 sentences about Him on our PowerPoints. That's not fully knowing Him. Fully knowing Him is a personal, intimate experience. We have a relationship with Jesus, but woke culture wants to cancel Jesus. Woke culture wants to cancel the gospel. They want us to be awakened to the lifestyle that is communicated to us all over the New Testament. Paul does it in, let's say 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 describes what the human race is going to be like in the last days. And then chapter 4 even brings in, after he exhorts Timothy to preach, it brings in this church that goes off the rails. And a false church that hires pastors and leaders who will tell them, quote, what their itching ears want to hear. In other words, make me feel good about my evil. Make me feel good about just pursuing wealth, pleasure, power, and status. Make me feel good about that. You want a job? Make me feel good about that. Paul really comes after it there. Another place it happens is in the book of Revelation. the beast's priorities: power, control of the human race, and receiving worship. That kind of sensual gratification. The false nation that the book of Revelation calls the Whore of Babylon, that false leading consumer nation, that nation's priorities are wealth, status, and the pursuit of pleasure. Hedonistic pleasure, immoral pursuits. And so woke culture, as I read it, it's leading us that direction. But the Bible says we should stay awake and be alert and be aware. But what we need to be awake to and alert to and aware of is the Lord's coming back, and are we ready for that? You got to stay awake. You got to be ready at all times. Now, that's been the message of the church since Jesus, and if you have a red letter Bible, you already know Mark 13's red letters. This is called the Olivet Discourse because it's on Mount Olivet. I want to tackle just a couple things right out of the gate. One is that Mark 13 is a shorter version of this sermon from Jesus. Matthew 24 will help you fill in the gaps, and I encourage you to read Matthew 24 on your own. We're going to read just one verse, but Matthew 24 has a ton of parallels to Mark 13, but then there's more to Matthew 24 than you have in Mark 13. And one of the points in the first century that became a point of questioning was, has the Lord already returned and did we miss him? He said he would come back during this generation. He still hasn't returned, and people are going around, well, he did, but not to you. Paul had to write to the Thessalonians about this because that rumor had started in the church at Thessalonica that the Lord had returned and they didn't know about it. And so Paul writes to correct that, but there's also through the eyes of some first century Christians, there's been a delay. Why haven't you returned? You said this generation wouldn't pass away. Well, Matthew helps resolve that, and I just want to bring your attention to one verse, and I encourage you to read it on your own, but it's Matthew 24, verse 14. This is not in Mark's version of Jesus' sermon. We're all selective. Mark recorded from Jesus' sermon what God inspired him to record, and Matthew recorded from Jesus' sermon what God inspired him to record. And so it's a fuller record of this sermon. Verse 14 in Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So, you can't just base theology on one text. You can't base your understanding of how to live just on one text. You have to take the whole counsel of God into effect and into consideration. And that's what we're doing right now. Because if you only took Mark 13, you could misunderstand it. Jesus said he'd come back during the first century generation, and he didn't. But that's not the full picture. You get the full picture when you read all three accounts. Luke has one too, and Matthew 24:14 says, here's the final step of preparation before the end. The final step of preparation is the gospel will be preached to the whole world as a witness to every nation, then the end will come. So, hey, that's happened. And it doesn't mean that he's going to come immediately, and we're going to see that in our text today, but it does mean everything's in place now. The gospel's been proclaimed, it's being proclaimed. In Brazil, there's a tribe called the Yanomamo, Yanomoto, and they're trying to protect them from the gospel. They won't let anyone in. They won't even let Western emissaries in. And it's a tribe deep in the Amazonian jungle. You know, I don't know if you like to keep up with stuff like that, but it's just a point of curiosity for me. Because everybody from every tribe, it's every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, will be in heaven. So there are going to be some members of that tribe in heaven. Who knows how it'll happen? If it has to happen with a direct encounter through an appearance of Jesus in the village, it'll happen. There's going to be people from every tribe, nation, language group. Have you ever thought about what we'll speak in heaven? In your mind, you just kind of speak English when you think about heaven. Maybe we'll have a language of the day because we'll be fluent in every language, I think. It's going to be amazing. So, are you ready? Let's read from Mark 13. We're going to start with the lesson of the fig tree in verse 28. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know the summer is near. Now, I grew up working in agriculture. I started picking berries when I was 8 years old. We lived in an agricultural area. North of Seattle, up around Bellingham and Linden, are these massive berry farms. And we lived in Bellingham at the time, and my whole family would go out during berry harvest, pick berries. Then we moved to Yakima, and that's where I finished growing up. And Yakima is where the apples come from, but not just apples. Back then, there were orchards everywhere. Now, most of them have been replaced with vineyards. But they were all orchards back then, and other forms. You know, 2 weeks we'd buck hay, but we worked in the fruit mostly. So in the spring, there were cherries, pears, peaches, apricots, you know, the whole thing. But in the spring, the blossoms on the apple trees would emerge. And so you'd have a bunch of apple trees with blossoms, and Yakima's at an elevation, it's high desert, and so in the spring there would be cold fronts that would come in that were below freezing, and it would ruin the apple crop if the blossoms froze. We knew, hey, about 5 more months and it's harvest time. So one of the things we did, we started in the spring, I was on a crew, we would go out and light smudge pots, which eventually transitioned to gas lines with these big metal cylinders that were like flamethrowers. And then it was really easy. Lighting the smudge pots was a pain, but lighting those was easy because you just had one of those, pull the trigger and light the bottom. You just go along, that was easy. And those flamethrowers would heat the whole orchard so that the blossoms didn't freeze, so that you would have a harvest in 5 months or so, 6 months. Apple harvest is in the fall. But when the blossoms appeared, we knew, here we go. We're on our way to the harvest. Think about our world today. With the media and internet capabilities we have, and the church has seized those opportunities, the gospel has become pervasive. Unfortunately, so has evil. The internet's neutral. Internet's sort of an inanimate object, like a gun. Guns can't be evil. It's a piece of metal. Or some plastic or whatever. It's the operator. And the same is true on the vast opportunities the church has through the internet. Some people choose it for evil. Let's face it, we're being watched. Fact. A few years back, our government clandestinely spied on members of the Tea Party. And then they tracked them and found out where they were tithing. And they audited every church that had any member of the Tea Party in it. The IRS audited them. You remember when the director of the IRS took the Fifth Amendment and then retired? So, Orwell's 1984 is here. The cosmic imagery of the Book of Revelation has become reality. And it's not just these cosmic beings and cosmic events. It's right down home where we live. The blossoms on the fig tree. You know what's coming down, so be ready. Matthew adds this about being ready. He adds a parable of the 10 virgins who were supposed to have lamps burning when the bridegroom showed up for the wedding. And so 5 of them took along a flask of oil for their lamps, and the other 5 took their lamps but didn't bring any oil along. And so it was nighttime, they fell asleep, and during the night they're sleeping, the bridegroom shows up all of a sudden, and the 5 with the oil jump up, put their oil in, light their lamps, and the other 5 go, "Hey, loan us some oil." And the 5 wise virgins said, "No, we're not giving you any of our oil. We only have enough for ourselves. You'll have to go buy some." So while they're out buying oil, the bridegroom came, everything got going, they locked the door, and those 5 couldn't get in. They knocked on the door, and the bridegroom said, "I don't know you. You weren't ready." Matthew adds that to motivate believers to live, think, eat, breathe, walk, work, awake, aware. Be ready. Fig tree has blossoms. We don't know when. We're going to see that as we work through here. So, verse 29, "So also when you see these things taking place, you know he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." Now, in the context of the whole Bible, we know Jesus was talking about the generation during which all these things would take place, including the gospel be preached to the ends of the earth. You know, it could be more than one generation. Here's what that is really about. When it's God's time, the generation that's alive during God's time will not pass away until the Lord comes. You know, he's made a promise to Jesus. It's found in Psalm 2. If you look at Psalm 2, you'll see in verses 7 and 9, part of that psalm is God's promise to Jesus. Jesus is, it's David in the day. It was David doing the writing, but it's quoted in the New Testament of Jesus. And that's where David wrote, my father has said to me, you're my son, and in you I'm well pleased, and I'm going to give you the nations. We used to sing a chorus. You remember that one? "Ask of me, and I will give the nations." You know, no missions convention was complete without singing that chorus. Some of you remember it. And we'd all get warm fuzzies, hold hands, and sway. Except I don't do that. I'm not holding hands with you, dude. I'll hold hands with her. I'm not holding hands with... If somebody from the front tells me to hold hands, I'm rebellious. I don't do that. Unless I'm next to her, I'll hold hers. You too, I'm not holding your hand, man. You kidding me? I was standing next to a missionary to South Africa. He's about my size. He has a big old mustache and shaves his head. big dude. His name was also Doug. We were just the two of us on the front row. And we were told this: hold hands with the person next to you and sing, "I love you with the love of the Lord." No, I'm not doing that. And so I didn't know how to handle it. I look at Doug, and Doug's looking at me, and Doug goes, "I don't do that, do you?" Oh, what a relief. I said, "No, man, I don't either." So we didn't do it. The moderator got a little ticked at us. This moderator was known to have a vein that would throb right here at the temple. The vein was throbbing, looked right at us. Vein is throbbing. But it goes on. Here's how it goes on. "Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations," and we never sing my favorite verse. Next verse: "And you'll rule over them with an iron scepter and crush them to pieces like pottery." We never sing that part. There are no warm fuzzies there. Jesus is returning, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years on earth, and it's going to be martial law. You want to be on the right side of this, because you'll reign with him. This is before new creation. The millennium's not heaven, not even close, because there's still evil. It's forcibly repressed by Christ for 1,000 years. When he lifts the rod of iron, the human race explodes against him one last time. You read about it in Revelation chapter 20. We're in those days, but there's no way to know. With God, a day is as 1,000 years. You know, the New Testament was explaining the delay in the return of the Lord to a first century church that expected him back. We can't make the mistake of starting to think it has to happen now. That's a huge mistake. The Lord's going to come back when he wants to. Here it is, heaven, verse 31. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." What Jesus said here, what God has said in this book, the entire Bible: heaven and earth will pass away in the renewal of all things, leading to new creation. But the words of God and the words of Jesus will never pass away. They're absolutely true. You can trust them no matter what you see coming down in the world. And it's crazy out there. Woke to what? Well, let's be awake to God. Let's stay alert to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be aware of what's going on around us and what God's promises are and what his plan is, whether it happens in our lifetime or not. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." But from Psalm 2, there's a day coming when Jesus is going to turn to the Father and say, "You said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations." The day is coming when Jesus is going to turn to his Father and our Father, and he's going to ask him, "Father, I'm ready. Give me the nations." And boom! Sun's going to be dark. Sun hadn't turned dark yet. Moon won't give its life light. Well, of course, there's no sun to light up the moon. The other night, Debbie and I had a good laugh. The moon was almost full, and it was kind of at an angle. The man in the moon wasn't looking right at us. He was kind of looking off maybe 30, 40 degrees. And it was so clear. The man in the moon was so clear. And we just decided a few nights ago, isn't that just like God to have a good laugh? For us to look at the moon and go, that looks like a face. God created it. Now, if you follow Christ and you believe in God, then you don't believe in coincidence. There's nothing random in life. Not if there's a God of the Bible who is God. There's no coincidence. We might perceive it as coincidence, but there is no coincidence. God's in charge of every slightest thing in the entire universe. No coincidence. The man in the moon's not a coincidence. Your life's not a coincidence. The people you run into every day, the people you work with every day, if it seems to you like you have a random meetup with someone and you just have some kind of a connection with them, that's not random. It's God. Seize the moment. See what impact you can have. Nothing is random. Your job is a holy calling. Do it as unto the Lord. Every vocation is a holy calling, not just to full-time church vocation, but all vocations are holy callings for believers. What you do every day out there, that's not secular. That's holy. It's for God. It's as unto the Lord. So, no one knows but the Father. Now, he's going to say this five times. Verse 33, be on guard, keep awake. It's redundant. He says it twice in a row there. Be on guard, be awake, stay awake. So guard yourself, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Don't let culture influence you. Don't imbibe the cultural realities that are all man-made out there that are contrary to the gospel. Don't drink from that fountain. Don't eat from that table. Guard yourselves against it, and then be aware that it's out there. Now, I don't watch news much anymore. It's the same thing every day. If I watch 2 or 3 minutes of news in the morning, all it does the rest of the day is repeat. So I just don't watch news much anymore. I stay informed enough to be aware of what's going on. I'll tell you, we just get down to some reality here. You know what? Debbie and I have invested our lives, even when we've been lead pastors of churches, they have tended to have a large percentage of young adults. And then Debbie's a professor of nursing at Cox College in Springfield, and I'm sort of semi-retired now. I'm retired from the seminary at Evangel, but I am on a church pastoral team as the lead teaching pastor. And pastor's so nice to me. I don't have to keep office hours. It's by appointment only with me. So he lets me feel semi-retired that way. I go in on Tuesdays for staff meetings. But we've just always enjoyed being with young adults. I want to say something about today's generation, and it's always been this way. Not just today's generation, but all the way back to when we were first getting started. Young adults want something authentic. They want something that's for real. They want to encounter God and be in His presence and know Him directly that way. But they want it to be for real and not contrived and not manufactured and not fake, not a facade. They want it to be for real. I'm going to get real with you right now. Encroaching on us worldwide is a global culture that is robbing us increasingly of our individual liberties. And that control freak who's going to be on the scene someday the dragon's son that the book of Revelation calls the first beast. And the evil spirit that leads the human race to worship the first beast and the dragon. That false trinity in Revelation 13. Counterfeit, false, not equal to God, inferior to God. And when the time comes, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Jesus will destroy Antichrist with one small breath. You know what that's like? It's like you got a fleck of dandruff on a dark suit shoulder and you go, and that's all it's going to take from Jesus to destroy this evil ruler. But that spirit that John writes of, spirit of Antichrist, was already prevalent. Well, it's becoming increasingly obvious. Remember what I said last week. In their known world, there was already one world government imposed on them. Rome, in their known world. But now it's truly global. And there's this encroaching spirit of Antichrist through whatever you want to call these people. People that are highly connected and run the world, and most of them aren't elected officials. They're the ones that tell the elected officials what to do. And it's encroaching. It's seeping in more and more to do exactly what the book of Revelation says about the mark of the beast in chapter 13. They want every member of the human race to buy into the evil world culture, buy into the evil world morality, buy into the evil world philosophies and value systems and core values. There's increasing pressure to do it. Don't do it. Don't buy in. Be on guard. Be alert. Because the day's coming. We're going to have to stand up and just say, nope. No. And we'll all make our own individual calls on this if they do start coming knocking on our doors. That's in each person's hands. Don't be surprised. Don't be taken off guard. Because I don't think he's on the scene yet. Maybe, but I don't think so. Because he comes on the scene big time. Everybody knows. Read Revelation. But the spirit that's now at work in the children of disobedience is already leading people to be deceived, and church people, good people, being deceived into rejecting, for example, biblical morality about sexual relationships in marriage. Reject that and anything goes. That's always been around. Read the New Testament too. Read the Old Testament. Always been around. But it's increasing exponentially, just like Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Evil is abounding. People get tired of the same old evil. They invent new ways of doing evil, and they recruit other people to come with them into the journey of figuring out new ways of violating God's moral laws. Don't be seduced by that. Don't be pressured into it. Because that's what Revelation shows. That's, you know, people get bogged down. What, the mark of the beast? It's about buy-in. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. God's marked you out with the Holy Spirit. That's your mark. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. You're already tattooed with the Holy Spirit. That's what that seal is. It's not sealed up in a jar. It's the word for tattoo or a seal on an envelope with a stamp. God stamped you with His Holy Spirit. It's about explicit buy-in, Okay, I buy in. I can't have a job or sell or do any kind of business unless I buy in to this evil world system. Some people compromise at that point, even believers. Paul says it's going to be so powerful, even believers might be deceived by it. Mark said that. Matthew says it. Luke says it. Be aware. You know, I'm just saying, line in the sand, red line. We in a cage fight. You going to step up or you going to lie down? We're there. And it's going to be more intense as the days go by. It could be 1,000 years. I don't know. But for 1,000 years, then it's just going to be more and more intense. See what Pastor Steve did to me? Because the holy hush comes in the room. Look, the holy rush comes in my office when I read this stuff. I'm all alone in there with the holy hush. At least we have each other. It's tough sledding, but necessary. It's necessary. We got to be on guard, and we've got to be ready. So, you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. This is Mark 13, finishing out. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Say it with me again. Stay awake. Stay awake. Say it to somebody. Look at somebody, say it. Stay awake. Stay awake, everybody. We don't know when he's going to come back. Only the Father does. Stay awake. Those are the times we live in. This is for real. It's getting real now. It's for real. Now, let me finish this way. Paul wrote Romans 14. The kingdom of God consists of these things: peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And so don't let this rob you. Don't let this be a millstone around your neck. Just be aware. But how are we going to live? I'm not going to live miserable and listen to the news and let it get me all depressed and I go through my day grumbling and angry and whatever. My baseline emotion, that's not godly for my baseline emotion to be anger. Yeah, I can get ticked off just like everybody. But what's your baseline? Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God right now through us. So let's buy into that and just be alert. Don't go to sleep. Don't let anything creep in except what God has for you. And right now, I just want to say it again. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Peace, joy, and righteousness. Say that with me. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Now is a good time for a stand-up. Go ahead, have a stand up. It's still really quiet in here. God, let your joy rain down even when we are facing turbulent times. Let your joy rain down. Let your peace rise up in your people. And let us live righteously and be aware. That's all. Be aware, be alert. Receive this blessing. Now, Father, will you bless your people with peace, joy, and righteousness? Will you raise our awareness and by your Holy Spirit keep us alert and awake. Will you bless your people in mind and spirit and with health for their bodies? Bless them in marriage. Bless their families. Bless their children to 1,000 generations or until you return. Bless them in their ministries. Bless them in opportunities to lead people to faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them with friendships. Bless them in vocation. Bless them in finance. In every way, God, bless them and raise them up. Elevate everyone through this blessing, God. Help us to live for you and to know what's going on. Now, Father, will you seal this blessing by the infinite authority and power of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Seal it, God, and make it so. And it's in his name that we receive this blessing and that I speak it in the name of Jesus. Amen, God, make it so.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.